Are you drowning in debt? Then don't miss today's Believer's Voice of Victory. God is willing and able to fill your hands in ways that will bless you. Join Kenneth Copeland and guest Dr. Leroy Thompson for God's plan to becoming debt-free.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. And would you join me again today in welcoming Leroy Thompson to this television broadcast? Leroy, I'm still just thrilled with this. No more empty hands.
No more empty hands.
You don't go empty handed anymore.
Yeah.
Now, Leroy and I was talking about it before the broadcast started. How many times when the first thing I ever heard that was a revelation from heaven, it really got into my spirit. Gloria and I we were just two little kids that were so deep in debt and broke and couldn't do anything. And the first thing I wanted to do that when I heard anything that got in my spirit, I'd heard a lot of religion, but and for 3 or 4 years, but man alive, I began to hear Brother Roberts, and Brother Hagin, and my spirit began to come alive. The Hilton Sutton down in Houston, Texas, man, he preached a message one night, first time I ever heard anything that really grabbed my spirit. The first thing I wanted to do was give into what they were doing, man. I wanted to be a part of it, and I sat there with nothing. Empty hand. I don't care what I wanted to do, my hand was empty. The car we were driving was driving us. This thing was a piece of junk. And owed money on junk.
Then
we needed clothes. I wanted to give. We were empty.
Empty-handed,
no more.
And when the Lord was, what happened, Brother Copeland, with me is, when the revelation money cometh came to me in that supermarket, the production of all these other revelation, and I believe they're prophetical, came to me one at a time. When I was reading that passage, I had not read a translation to say, he said you won't leave empty. And so I heard the word, no more empty hand. I didn't read no translation. And then later on, months after I read the translation, it says no more empty hand. And I knew what God was talking about, but I needed the Holy Spirit to help me process it and position it where I could share it with the body of Christ, what he meant by no more empty hand. And one of the things, he showed me that I don't want him to come before me empty-handed.
That's the first thing, isn't it? And that's what was bothering me.
And that's what's bothering God, because when we go before God empty-handed, it does not give him the privilege to bless us like he desired to bless us. And he had to teach you to recognize a seed, because I believe in all our hardship we went through, there was seed slipping through our fingers some kind of way, because he said he'd give seed to the sower. But we had to recognize what sowing was for myself. And then I recognized a seed, recognized sowing. Then God was teaching me to recognize certain soil to sow in. And then it all began, you know. And so,
Leroy, that's where all debt comes from. If you wasn't empty-handed, you wouldn't be borrowing from
this somebody. This thing, when you said debt, living loans and debt lifestyle is the average lifestyle people are living today.
This just flooded me. When the first time I ever saw that in the Word, owe no man anything but to love him. And the more I looked, the more I found stuff all over the Bible that said, stay out of debt. You can lend, but don't borrow. And the first thing I thought, how will you ever have anything? And so my mind was programmed to always be empty-handed. I don't have anything. I got to go borrow it to do anything more than this little dab I got in my hand.
And every time you did that, you're going farther and farther away from what God wants you to have.
Because now you're in hock for more than you've got. And now you're empty-handed. You're going to just stay empty all the time.
And that's the way the world system is. I have here, it all started out living off the world system. It's loan and debt lifestyle.
That's the whole deal.
You know, the rich man and Lazarus, that story Jesus told, also I saw something there one day, I was reading it, and the rich man represented the world, and Lazarus represented the church. And the Lord said to me, Leroy, I don't want to tell my people, and I don't want you living on leftovers. Because that man was out there, and the way the story ended, the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus was in heaven. But still, I saw out of that story, if it wasn't the key factor, God showed me something. The average believer who do not know the revelation of truth lives on leftovers, something the world is handing them out. That's why the world gets so upset when a revelation like this comes forward, or when we teach broadcasts such as this, the heathen and the world system try to find fault with it because they know it is something above and beyond what they have been doing, and they've been holding people back. One of the points that I had here on this whole teaching was, and I was in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you remember?
Okay, yeah, let's
go. It says the reason God don't want you empty-handed is because coming before him with empty hand does not give him the divine privilege of keeping your hands full for his purposes.
There's nothing to increase if there's not anything there.
Exactly. And we're talking about...
If it's nothing but... I cried out to God. I remember one night I said, God, help me.
Help me.
If I had it, I'd give it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he honored that as a seed.
Yes.
And I bet I cut the button off my shirt and put it in the offering. But he honored my heart, and I never had to do that again.
Well, that's where he started at.
Yeah.
It started with the heart. You got to start with the heart. The heart has to be right. If the heart's not right and the mind's not renewed, you see, it's the heart, the head, and the hand. You see what I'm saying? Your mind got to be right. Your mind got to be renewed because God love a cheerful giver. But he says, he that purpose in his heart. And he wanted, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that on your own. It has to be the Holy Spirit helping you. But when we're talking about going down the line, we're talking about Deuteronomy 17, 18, the world system, that's what they say. And that's why God was warning his people, don't say this. And thou say in thine heart. Look at that heart right there. And thou say in thy heart. 17th verse.
Yeah.
My power and the might of mine hand had gotten me this wealth. You see, he was talking to them because he had blessed them. It's the same Israelite. Mm-hmm. He's the one give them favor. He's the one fed them waffles in the morning and quail in the evening. He's the one that made the water come out of a rock. He's the one that gave them favor in the eyesight of the Egyptian, and they spoiled the Egyptian. He's the one that brought them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God did all this. And now they're entering into this land. And he said, now, I don't want you talking about your hand. Because your hand didn't do this. He says, you was brought in here by my hand, and you give me the glory. I'm the one give your hand the power to get wealth. So back in dealing with Joseph knew that, and that's why Joseph kept being promoted.
He never got away from it.
He knew it was God that dreamed
it. He had those two dreams when he was 17 years old, and he had the first dream. Now, you have to remember, they didn't have a Bible.
Right.
And God had already told Isaac when he's a kid, I'm going to perform the oath that I made to your father, Abraham.
Amen.
But now that whole family got off what God had promised Abraham, and they got mean-hearted and So, and all that. So, and to perform that, then God had a prophet born right there in their household, and they named him Joseph.
Exactly.
So, when he's 17, he gave him a dream, and then he gave him another dream to confirm it, and that young man never did let that dream go. He stayed with it, and it made him prime minister of the biggest nation on earth.
Absolutely. And if you stay with God, God will do the same thing with you. In writing notes for this book, along that line, the first cure for empty hand is being positioned for the financial favor of God. And that's by Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing, see your position. Yeah, if you're willing. See,
you can say that like, if you're willing and obedient, then I'll feel your hand.
I'll feel your hand. Exactly. Yeah. And you can go all through
really,
Scripture.
That ties right together with that.
Yeah, being faithful, being willing, being obedient, being ready to do whatever he tell you to do, that's the main thing. So in looking at Joseph and how God prospers Joseph had divine favor in his hand. We saw him being promoted and being promoted. If you read that 39th chapter, you'll see all of this, how Joseph was constantly being promoted. I want to bring us to this point here in Ephesians 3:20, and now we'll get to 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. We talked about them, but I put it in the book this way. I asked a question. How many believe that God can feel your hand? And I propose that question to those who are listening to us. I know many who are listening to us have had the same scenario with that Brother Copeland and I have had our hands being empty. We love God. We prayed. We praised. We read the Scripture. We meditated. But still our hands was empty. And some people listening to us, I know that they're really sincere people. And they are crying out, say, Brother Copeland, Brother Thompson, yes, I hear you. Give me a little more on this. So the question here is, and I have this question in the book, how many believe that God can feel your hand? And then I wrote this statement, God is able and willing. God is able and willing. And I got two scriptures that the scriptures are familiar, but let's look at them. Ephesians 3:20 and 2 Corinthians 9:8. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Amplified Bible. You quoted it in the broadcast. But it says, now unto him that is able to do, that is able to do, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Now, you got to remember the revelation that was brought forth when the Israelites, back in Exodus 32, went to the Egyptian, and he said the women were going to do it, and we looked it up in Hebrews, and he says that they ask, and when they ask, that favor was on their asking.
Yeah.
God's favor can be on your asking.
And it was on them to give it.
It was on them to give it.
Well,
yes, sir.
They were ready to get rid of it. When
yes.
They did. Yeah.
Because God worked on both ends.
Yeah.
So he says, yeah, now unto him that is able to exceed abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Also, we've been talking about your mind has to be right. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind, be not conformed to this world. See, we take that in one aspect. But we've got to take the whole covenant and the whole revelation. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can may prove what that good, all right, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I believe the perfect will of God is that his child's hand or his children's hand never be empty.
Absolutely.
We see throughout the Old Testament, people will serve God and do what's right. He kept their hand full. Abraham's hand was full. Isaac's hand was full. Jacob's hand was full. Job's hand was full. Solomon's hand was full. David's hand was full. Esther's hand was full. You just go on and on and on. That was part of the package. I don't know where we lost the hand full at. But that's part of the package. You serve God because he need to keep your hand full because he's going to use your hand to be a blessing to people who are in training and people who do not know.
Well, there was a time there, Leroy, that and it's rightly named. It was called the Dark Ages. It was about 700 year period of time between the time that the Apostle Paul wrote these letters to the Gentiles, telling them how to think, telling them how to live, and then Satan, through religion, was able to drive a wedge between Christians and Jews to the point where the Bible was hidden away. It was put in monasteries and in the hands of super religious people.
Left
and,
the revelation.
Yeah.
Out. Left
and
the revelation.
The when that happened, they started injecting Eastern revelations of poverty.
Wow.
And the Gentiles didn't know any better. They didn't know what God was or who God was. They couldn't read. They didn't have the Word of God.
My God.
And men gave their lives. They shed blood to get the Bible written in a language that common people could read and believe and stand on it. And that little German priest found a scripture that says, "The just shall live by faith."
Hallelujah.
And here it came.
Hallelujah.
And God's been restoring it now ever since. But the Gentiles, for a long time, they got hooked up with Jesus, but they just kind of made Christianity up as they went along. I mean, they had poverty, sickness. God will make you sick. Yeah. God hates everybody. I mean, preach
so
out of a...
religious world took a hold of that.
Oh, they grabbed hold of that. And you know, when Billy Graham first started preaching, he was a young man and full of anointing and full of fire, man. And people getting saved. Do you know they threatened him because he was preaching out of a Bible that had a red cover? Leroy, a Bible that had as if the cover had anything to do with what was on the inside.
It's that religious spirit
that does its best to keep people in bondage. And the biggest bondage Satan's interested in is the material world that he's got his arms around. Yeah. And that Babylonian system out there of meet your needs without God is just his. He thinks it's his. He's a thief. He stole it, but he thinks it's his. And the Word of God starts stripping him, and he starts losing out, and he just...
Here's a stripper right here, 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Amplified Bible. "And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come." That's money coming.
Yes, sir.
"Come to you in abundance, so that you may always," and watch this, "and under all circumstances." That's the circumstances that the system is going through now. You can take this one scripture and see God is bringing me out. God is bringing me out.
Yes, sir.
Say it. Say it. Say it. God is bringing me out. You know, you got to say something.
You got to say it.
And I felt in my spirit that those who are listening to us need to write that down, need to put a circle around it. God is bringing me out. Yes.
God is bringing me out.
Bringing me out. Listen. "And God is able to make all grace, all favor, every favor, and earthly blessing." Every favor and earthly blessing. Whatever on the face of the earth, the Lord can make it happen for you.
He don't care what the devil thinks about it.
Glory to God. You heard it? Whatever. Nobody can stop him.
Oh, hallelujah.
Nobody can overpower it. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in. I mean, once you get under God's system and get under that anointing and get under there willingly and get under there faithfully, I know it for a fact. I come from nowhere. I come from the bottom of the pile. But God lifted me up. I mean, I love God with all my heart. I loved God with all my heart before I had anything. But then I saw this was part of my covenant. And when I saw that, I peeled the rocks. I started pulling people who didn't want to go. I said, "I love you, but I'm gone. I know that this is true." And so this scripture means so much to me because God did this for me. God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. Now, when he says self-sufficient, means possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnishing abundance for every good work and charitable donation because I gave it to you.
Oh, praise God.
You know, that's powerful. That's powerful. Now, another aspect of this whole revelation is, I have it down here as a PowerPoint number 11. Developing stewardship hands is a requirement of the Lord before he can let you have a full supply.
Yeah.
Developing
yes, sir.
Stewardship hands is a requirement of the Lord before he can let you have a full supply. That brings us back. This scripture helped me so much in the 25th chapter of Matthew, where he said that man went in that far country, give one five, give mm-hmm. one two, give one mm-hmm. one, but according to their several ability. I'm going to look that up further, but according to their several ability, I know what he meant. What you have qualified in training for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, sometime I believe people in my ministry, in pastoring the church, sometime I believe people try to work this too fast, and they get discouraged before they get to the point where God is really going to bless them. You have to work it, develop those stewardship hands where you are. And you see that guy with the one, he didn't do it. The Lord said, take from him what he has. Mm-hmm. Oh, when I read that as a Baptist,
he's going to have to start over again.
I said, man,
you're going to have to send him back to school.
But he gave it to the God who got the most.
Sure.
He said, give it to him. Give it to him who had the 10. Yeah. And that's what the scripture said. He that has shall more be given. Because there's an attraction. There is a magnetic anointing comes on a person when they begin to recognize, oh my God. When they begin to recognize these truth, there's a magnetic anointing. That's the first time a magnet, and they talk about attraction. The Holy Ghost can attract things to you. They'll come to you by the anointing, there's the anointing drawing those things to you with a purpose.
Jesus standing in that boat with Peter. They worked all night long, and the fish run away from them. Jesus got in there, and every fish in the Galilee come swimming up around the boat.
And it's,
that is a picture of it.
That's a picture of it. Hallelujah. Mm. That's a picture of it.
We're out of time. Leroy, I'll be back in just a moment.
Do you need help in your finances? Are you wondering how to actually experience the blessing of prosperity that God provides, but don't know where to begin? You don't need another quick fix, a get-rich-quick scheme, or even a good idea. You need a financial revolution.
God's purpose of your hand being full is that you can get his business done in the Israel.
A friend or relative might lend a helping hand in a small financial test, but God wants to rescue you from lack forever in No More Empty Hands by Leroy Thompson. You'll find out how to enter the realm of financial favor and stay there. How an anointed heart, mind, and hand will create an anointed expectation.
You'll never have empty hands again as you work the system of God, believe the promises of God, and step off in the plan of God.
God wants to anoint you for a higher standard of living so you can go through life as a blessing to others with No More Empty Hands. To order your copy of No More Empty Hands by Dr. Leroy Thompson, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book is now available for just $10. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn how much God loves you and desires to be your source. Order your copy today.
Now, let me tell you something right now before we go one step further. You've heard a lot of powerful and good things. But now without Jesus, just forget it.
Yeah, forget it.
I mean, he is the door. He is the door. He is... There's, people say, well, I believe there's many ways to God. Well, I don't know nothing about that, but I know the best way. Yeah. I know the number one way, and what I want to mess with all them Mickey Mouse ways if I got him. Now, listen to this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You want me to read this to you? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not have an empty hand, shall not be ashamed, shall not be walking the streets without and begging bread. Mm. That's what this is referring to. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek or the black man, brown man, white man, yellow man. I don't have nothing to do with it. What does have to do with it? The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray it with me right now. Just say, and pray it out loud, O God in heaven.
O God in heaven.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
I repent of sin.
I repent of sin.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the past.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I renounce the devil and everything he stands for.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Receive me, Lord.
Receive me, Lord.
As I receive you.
As I receive you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that with Leroy and me, use the information on your screen and let us know. I'll send you these five little books to help you get started reading your Bible. You don't need to be struggling in this. You need to be going strong in it. Praise the Lord. And let us know how. We're so thrilled when we hear from you like that. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Leroy Thompson, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they've put together a special salvation package, which includes five books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. Thank you, partners, for helping us declare from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around that Jesus is Lord.
What about 2009? That Babylonian system out there is not going to get any better. That thing has come apart, but we don't have to live in that system. You were taken out of the authority of darkness, and you were given the power and the authority and put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So get yourself ready. We're moving into that master plan for our lives even more than ever before.
Come join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the 2009 Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th through the 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Take 3 days to ground your faith on God's Word and get answers to living successfully in every area of your life. Go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.